Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hello and welcome to Cutting the Curd, broadcasting live from the Heritage Radio Network. This is your host, Greg Blaze. On today's show, we have cheesemonger, educator, and consultant Francois Robin on the line from France. How are you, Francois?
Hi, fine. And you? How are you?
I'm good, man. I can hear you so well now. I'm super happy.
Great. I'm quite in the middle of France, so maybe the connection was not that good before, but that's better.
You sound amazing. Literally amazing.
Good.
In 2011, good. Francois earned the title of Meilleur Ouvrier de France, and that is a terrible pronunciation, but it's a title recognized by the famous Red, White, and Blue Collar. For those of our listeners who don't understand or know what that is, could you tell us a little bit about that and then also how you got into cheese?
So to answer to the first part of your question, the title of Meilleur Ouvrier de France is a title that is designed for French persons only, and it's a contest every 4 years. It can be given for pastry chefs, but also carpenters, hairdressers, any what we call ouvrier, that is to say a person that is working with its hands. And the cheesemonger title of Meilleur Ouvrier de France has been created in 2000. The first one was Mr. Hervé Mons, together with a few friends, but I think Hervé Mons is quite known in the U.S.
Yes.
And I had the incredible honor to get that title in 2011, following 2 years preparation, that is to say, during that 2 years, I constantly thought about this contest. It's something that can a little bit suck your brain because you are really committed to get this, and it's certainly in France one of the highest honors you can have for a cook. It's either having 2 or 3 stars at the Michelin restaurant, or having the color. It's almost the same recognition from your peers. So I was really happy to have that.
Yeah, that sort of like designates you as a badass at what you do. I wonder, I'd really like to meet a hairdresser who did that. That's pretty interesting.
You can imagine a lot of things, yes.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That sounds like a great honor, and it's fantastic. I really think that's very cool that you got that. And so what he's saying is, like, so he's known as one of the best workers in France, which is really, really cool. That's what that title means. So how did you become a cheesemonger in the beginning, beginning of your road to lead you to this high honor?
The beginning of the road was certainly when I was something like a day old, maybe a little bit more, a month, because the story is funny. My mother quit, she was breastfeeding me, and she stopped that, and she was giving me the milk from the goat of my father's farm. That is to say, I was goat fed from the beginning.
You were weaned on goat's milk. milk. That's fucking hilarious. I love that. That's amazing.
That's great. And it was raw milk. It was raw milk.
Of course.
That's the reason why I'm so stupid today.
I love it, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So you grew up on a farm?
That was the start. But after that, he was a cheesemaker in the west of France, near a city named Cognac, that is world known for the brandy, of course.
Oh, yes.
But also for good goat cheeses.
Excellent.
I've been a kind of entertainer and rocker. Not cheese rock star, but I was planning gigs in a gig venue, a rock and roll venue in the west of France for a long, long time. And turning 35, 37 in 2007, I decided to quit my job and to start the French cheesemonger, to attend the French cheesemonger school in Paris.
That's really, really amazing. I really appreciate that. I'd love to have a designation like that here in the United States. That would be really, really awesome. I mean, we have cheesemongers here. We have a great competition, the Cheesemonger Invitational, and then the American Cheese Society has a certified cheese professional program. So we're getting there, but I mean, you know, you guys have a few hundred years on us as a country, so we'll be able to catch up in at some time, but probably, you know, it'll take us a little while to get there. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about the French cheese scene now and about new cheesemongers coming up in France.
Oh, yes. It's interesting that you say we are a little bit ahead. We have the tradition of cheesemaking. We have the tradition of cheesemongering. But we're not that far. From what I've seen, your scene, your U.S. scene is really full of energy and full of... how to say, you dare to do things.
Yeah.
In France, we have the tradition that is a good base ground, but also a weight sometimes. That is to say, it can put you a little bit down because people say you must do that thing, you have to do that thing, and you have to follow the rules. Sometimes, when you don't have rules, you can create your own. So
yeah.
That's really better.
I've been doing that my entire life.
In fact, we are today I'm instructor in a cheese school, in cheesemonger school in Lyon, and this year I have 22 new students, and all of them are coming from incredible backgrounds. Two are coming from financial. One was a worker. There was a nurse. A lot of people coming from new fields, different areas from than being a cheesemonger before. And so they are full of energy, full of passion, and the new scene is theirs. We open our arms to welcome them, as I was welcome not that long ago. And it's really good to have this new scene, not only because they have tattoos and beard, but also...
Yeah.
But also because they have a lot of passion, and that's what the most important part is that.
Yeah.
If they take the time to put to build the house, that is to say, you start with the basis, and then you build the wall, and then the rooftop and the inside decoration will be after. That is to say, you have to master the basic techniques,
yeah,
and so, knowledge, and then you can push it further after.
So in the beginning of your training of these people, what do you start them off with? What did you start with? Did you start simply by working with the cheese itself and learning how to handle it, cut it, wrap it, and store it? Is that where you began, and is that how you teach your people to begin?
Yes. We start with the first thing, that is to say, where is the milk coming from?
Sure.
and how can I see where the head of the cow is?
Really?
It's that simple. You have to take it from the start. So if it comes to the cheese, yes, the first week they are in a shop and working, and so they have a lot of questions, and we start immediately to answer as much question as we can. But we get to follow first the grazing, the cow or goat, and the milk. We have to follow that and explain them how it works. So it's a basic at the beginning, and then we go further, further, and further in the knowledge of the cheese, in the knowledge of agriculture, of the cheese industry as well, and the terroir. In France, it's a big deal to talk about the terroir. You certainly have an idea of that. A terroir is not only a place, but the animals that are adapted to that place, and also how the cheesemakers are taking advantage of the environment and the animals. It's a triangle, in fact. You need men and women. You need animals, and you need grazing. That's what a terroir is.
Absolutely. I really, what I found most interesting about the cheese in the very beginning, like when I learned to become a cheesemonger, I didn't have a school to teach me, and I didn't have anyone to really show me anything. I had to learn by myself. And the place that I started was with all of the tools. I initially started with some wires and then a few knives, and then I moved away from the wires, and I don't use any wires at all. But in France, you're sort of bound to use specific tools for specific cheeses, correct?
yes, the tradition is so. If you come to Auvergne in the middle of France, and you take a knife to cut open the Cantal, they will laugh at you. They will say, you do it with a wire.
Sure.
And so the question is... of course, you can do it with a knife. It's not a problem.
No.
The idea is you got to master all techniques just in case your knife is broken. Doesn't happen a lot, but it can be. You can use a wire. And if your wire is broken, you can use a knife. You must be, you must have enough skills to master every tools.
Exactly.
That's what I learned them. I teach my students to do that. And I think it's important. And then, on a daily basis, you have the tools that you prefer most.
Yep.
Sometimes they don't use wire anymore, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But you need to do it once, at least once in the traditional way, and then you can create your own techniques and tools.
I agree with that 100%. The reason why I went away from wires is because I had to use them so much. And then one day after I was doing it, I was like, I hate this. I'm never using this again. And I have never used it again since in any place I've ever worked. But I agree with that. Before you can sort of mess around and do your own thing, you have to learn the fundamentals. It's like riding a bike or doing anything. You have to learn how to pedal and how to keep that thing upright before you can, you know, ride on one wheel and stand on the handlebars. And I think that a lot of times people, unfortunately, they want to skip steps. They want to skip steps in their education and their knowledge. And you know, that's why I'm really happy that there are things that are coming up in the U.S. Like the CMI, which is now really well established, and the CCP, and also Sartori has another cheesemonger certification. Because you have to give people parameters to work within, or else they're really just sort of swimming around in the dark, and that's not good for anyone or anything. I actually, you know, I'm really happy that you said that. And it's really cool that you're teaching all of those people. I mean, that must make you feel really, really proud of both yourself and your country and all of the traditions therein in terms of cheese.
Yes, we are collectively really proud. But as you were saying, a cook cannot make a 2.0 pie, for example,
right.
Quiche Lorraine, maybe you know that pie. If you don't know the original recipe, so first master the original recipe, then reinvent it anytime. It's perfectly okay. But you have to do it the traditional way first. And then create a lot of energy. And a colleague of mine, another meilleur ouvrier de France, Marc Janin, told a super sentence. He told, okay, in France we have a lot of tradition, but we need to be a tradition ahead. That is to say, always inventing a new tradition. The tradition is not something that is stuck into the past. If it's so, it's too late. It's bye-bye. You get to change things constantly. And that's what I've learned observing my UK or US colleagues, cheesemonger. They are passionate. They have tons of ideas. And it's a lesson that they gave us a few years ago. Say, hey, let's move your ass. Don't wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you do so, we will catch up.
Exactly.
So we have to stay just a little bit ahead.
We're definitely coming for you, man. We're coming for you. We absolutely
I
are.
I know that. You know, I've already sold a little bit of raw milk American cheese to the French customer.
Really?
I've done that.
Which ones did you bring over, and which ones are you selling there?
We had Azeldu.
Who makes that? What farm?
I do remember it was Azeldu, and I just have bad memories of name. I will find out before the show ends.
I think that's awesome.
I do remember that I sold the cheeses. Tell the people you should blind test your guests. And after that, after they told you, oh, what a wonderful cheese it is, tell them then that it's an American one. Because
that's cool.
If you start from the beginning to tell, okay, that's an American cheese, the French people are so overproud that they will say, no, I won't eat that.
Of course not. That's great. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back with more cheesemongery talk with Francois. Stay with us.
Today's program is brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Wisconsin produces the world's best cheese, period. Why? Lush grasslands, glacial water supply, fourth-generation cheesemakers, combining old-world tradition with the new ideas and highest standards. The very best milk. What do you think of when you think of Wisconsin cheese? For me, I think cheese curds. Delicious, fresh cheese curds, or deep-fried cheese curds. Cheese curds literally any way, anytime, any place. I think about Andy Hatch and Upland's Cheese Company, the operation behind the Pleasant Ridge Reserve cheese that's literally America's most awarded cheese. I think of the deliciously stinky Limburger and its long-storied history. I think about Raleigh's Dumbarton Blue, a perfect blend of English-style cheddar and notes of blue. I think of Emmy Roth's Grand Cru Sirchois, which was named 2016's World Champion at the World Championship Cheese Contest. Wisconsin is like the world champion of cheese, and once you start reading the list of cheeses made in Wisconsin on their website, you can see why. The Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board is a nonprofit organization funded entirely by Wisconsin's dairy farm families. Read more at eatwisconsincheese.com, and as soon as you're done listening to this podcast, eat Wisconsin cheese. It's a no-brainer.
Welcome back to Cutting the Curd. I'm on the line with Francois Robin. He's calling me from France, and we're talking about the cheese scene in France. I wanted to shift the conversation and get your perspective as a French cheesemonger on the scene here in America. Francois and I actually met at the Academy Opus Cassius Breakfast at the Fancy Food Show in June. I don't know how often you get to travel here, but what are your thoughts about what we're doing over here? You said before we have a lot of energy and a lot of passion. Do you think we're doing a good job?
I think you're doing a good job. Really good. I haven't been that much in the U.S. for the moment, but I plan to. What I know is basically most of the things I've seen discussing with Susan Sturman from Academy Opus Cassius and the Mons brothers as well. They are really passionate about the U.S. scene. I think you're doing really well. What I've eaten, the first evidence of that is the taste of the cheese. If you can do whatever you want, but if the cheese that you have is not good,
now you're screwed.
Yeah. So you have good cheeses.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. Some of them are maybe could be better, but you cannot imagine a cheese in 10 years and make it perfect. You
no
get
way.
To master it for longer than that. But what you're doing is having good cheeses and having passionate key character on the chain, cheesemakers, farmers, cheesemakers, cheese affiner that is starting to be a little bit better. I've trained Mr. Benton Brown from
Crown
Finish in Brooklyn.
Those are some beautiful caves.
To be one of his first instructors, and also cheesemongers.
Yeah.
What I've seen, I've been as any French cheesemonger. I've been to Murray's,
sure.
New York. And
classic.
I've heard what the cheesemongers are telling the customers. They are really good about the cheese knowledge. Maybe sometimes better than in France.
Well, what we do have here, and what makes it, like you said, we make good cheese here because we have a country that is vast, and there's a lot of good land still, thankfully, although it's shrinking, in my opinion. We have a lot of good dairy here. You know, the land is good for dairy in a lot of places. I mean, up here in the Northeast, where I am, it's arable. It's kind of wet and a little bit damp up in Vermont and where I'm from in Massachusetts. And, you know, there's a lot of green grass up there, and there's a lot of animals that really like, you know, the scenery. And as you are doing there, there's definitely been a return to the land of some people. I think people are tired of working in boxes, in offices, and sitting behind desks pushing papers and numbers for people and really not doing anything of note with their lives and, you know, sort of living that existence. So a lot of people have gone back to the land, which I think is incredible. And I think that's a lot where you see a renewed passion, because people were so, you know, you get turned into a drone in this world after a while. And so, you know, when you go back and you have visceral and physical things that you have to do on a daily basis, like milking goats, milking cows, bringing animals out to pasture, bringing them back in, and just living that, you know, 21 hour a day existence of the farmer, you know, I mean, like that's actually worth it for people. You know what I mean? Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes. I think it's a strong current. It's certainly stronger in the U.S. than than in France, because we have more more tradition in that, and small farmers are existing for a longer time. I understand that people are tired of pushing boxes and or working in a boxing and pushing papers, as you say. And when you go to work as a cheesemonger, you are happy because you don't have any meeting. You just
exactly.
Have cheeses, and that's perfect. But also, the question I have is sometimes these people that are going back to the land to produce, they don't know how hard the life at the farm
is.
True. I know that by heart because my dad was a farmer.
Yeah.
So I know that you don't have any weekends, you don't have any time to spend with your kids or holidays. I don't want you to cry, but
no.
The truth.
Look, things in life become a labor of love. You know, I think that if you find something, or if you're part of something that takes up all of your life and time like that, and it's worthwhile, then you're a blessed individual. And, you know, because pushing some 9-to-5 and then having your weekends off, you live a very certain type of lifestyle. And I think that, you know, that is, you know, becomes less progressive as time goes on. Mm-hmm. How about the cheese scene in other places in the world that you've worked as a consultant? Where else have you worked, and what's the cheese scene like in those places?
I've been to Middle East, to India.
Really?
I'm going to Vietnam next week. So
great.
I will see that, but it's it's just starting in that scene. Today, the cheese scene is getting a little bit more exciting in the world. Because we are in a globalized consumption.
Sure.
And people want to taste the cheeses from France, because we still have really good cheeses.
Hell yeah.
I assure you that.
The best.
But it's newborn scene. I've been amazed to see how reactive Indian bloggers or Arabic people from Saudi Arabia were to what we propose them. And I think the scene is quite dynamic. But there is no cheesemonger scene here.
Right.
Because it's what you can find in supermarkets. That no real cheesemongers. The other one that we can see is the one that is in Bra. You know, the Bra Cheese Festival.
I just got back from there. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a great scene, and you can see it's living and existing everywhere. So also listening to the older cheesemonger in France, they told us, you are really lucky. It's like a golden age for good quality cheeses here in France today, and in the world as well. And at the end of the 80s, the 70s, and turning to the 80s, it was really difficult for a French cheesemonger. The job almost disappeared because the big companies had big stores, and we didn't have our high quality image. So now it's really better. It's really better for the scene in France, but also from what I've seen in the north of Europe. I've been to Sweden, I've been to Denmark. I've seen a lot of cheese passionate people. And what is good also that you can find good farmers working organic in all these places. And it's really good because everyone got its own terroir.
Yes,
we are not
does.
The only one to have it in France. You deserve to have yours.
I wanted to understand, you mentioned that. So what kind of cheeses are made in Vietnam? That's really interesting. I mean, I've interviewed some gals from Mumbai that are listeners, and they're great. The Cheese Collective, Mansi, that talked to me. And I know that there are cheese traditions in Northern Africa. We sell at Italy some of the best yogurt I think I've ever had, the White Mustache. My friend Homa makes it. You know, she gave me this great quote. I was like, are you going to be able to sell this yogurt and make it? And she's like, Greg, I could make yogurt with a pot in the middle of the desert. And I thought that was really cool. And the tradition is longstanding in those countries. And I think I understand the type of cheese that's made there in the desert. But what kind of cheese do they make in Vietnam?
Actually, there is no cheese made in Vietnam. I'm going to promote the French cheeses.
Oh, okay. I was like, wow.
As far as I know, there is no. In India, they are doing a lot of ghee and as well paneer.
Yeah.
So as Mansi told you, she's right. They got a tradition. But in Vietnam, it's not something really existing as far as I know.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I didn't think so. But it's cool that you're getting them into that. I think that that all cultures should be introduced to cheese and cheesemongery and the passions and everything that goes along with it. You know, I really want to thank you for your time today, Francois. And I'm really glad we got you on another line for a better connection because you had a lot of really great stuff to say. So check out Francois if you're a listener and check out the award that he was given. And just know that there are a bunch of passionate people out there moving the bar higher and higher for cheesemongery internationally. Thanks a lot, and stay tuned for more episodes of Cutting the Curd. Thank you again, Francois, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.